Canterbury Commission is Matt, and the premiere of it.
Yeah,
it was very fun, very fun. But yeah, even just this spring, all over the place.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Chapel. Welcome to Gustavus Adolphus College. It's a joy to gather together as Easter people to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and, in doing so, the ways in which life follows death in our lives. Today we are delighted to welcome as our guests the Theodicy Jazz Collective. This residency by the collective is centered on exploring the relationship of jazz and spirituality in the context of liturgy, history, community, and theology. The mission of this collective is to make justice real through the creative, spiritual power of music. Comprised of professional musicians who form the collective while at the Yale Institute of Sacred Music, this group is led by the Reverend Andrew Barnett, who holds the Bishop's Chair for Environmental and Food Studies in the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. Also part of the collective is Ann Phelps on vocals, Tim McKay on alto saxophone, Dan Loomis on bass, and Jake Robinson on drums. Local musicians joining the group are Aaron Moe, who teaches jazz studies at Normandale Community College, Doug Snapp, director of jazz studies at Minnesota State University in Mankato, and our very own Dave Stamps, director of the jazz ensembles here at Gustavus Adolphus College. For those that enjoy the music this day, there are CDs in the back for purchase after the service. Welcome, Theodicy Jazz Collective. I'd be remiss this morning if I did not honor the hours of work of Dr. Chad Winterfelt, cantor of Christ Chapel, who cannot be with us this morning due to a family emergency. It is likely that his mother will not be with us for the next few days and the days after. We hold Dr. Winterfelt in prayer this morning, knowing that he has worked tirelessly for months to make this weekend a reality. We hold him, his father, and especially his mother in our prayers this day. In light of this resurrection promise today, we are delighted to welcome the family of a beautiful baby girl, Grace Ann Heilman, who will be baptized in our service this day. Grace's father, Baird, is a 2007 graduate of Gustavus. Her uncle, Jacob, is a 2002 graduate. Aunt Erin, 2001. Uncle Roy, 2000. Aunt Amy, 1999. Grandparents, Ruth and Ross, 1973. Great Aunt May, 1969. I think if you pay for 12, you get the 13th free. So I would like to welcome baby Grace into the Gustavus class of 2037. No pressure whatsoever. Today we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Please know that all are welcome to participate. This day we'll be communing by way of intinction down the center aisle. You'll receive a piece of bread or gluten-free wafer if you so choose. Also, as you are dipping into the chalice, there is wine and grape juice, depending upon your choice. All are welcome. A special welcome to our guests, especially Pastor Alan Bray and members of First Lutheran Church here in St. Peter. It is a delight to be together on this occasion, and for those that are worshiping with us for the first time, please know that some of our hymns will be sung from the ELW, which is this red book sitting hopefully relatively close to you in your pews. With that being said, I invite you to stand and please face the baptismal font on the north end of the chapel for our opening dialogue.
We are awakened from a week of work and worry to a morning of fresh beginnings and new horizons. For this day of renewal, we give thanks and praise. For this day of renewal, we give thanks and praise. We are awakened from a night of tossing and turning to a day full of surprises and sanctuary. For this time of rest, we give thanks and praise. For this time of rest, we give thanks and praise. We are awakened from the mundane and ordinary by an invitation to divine celebration. For this time of celebration, we give thanks and praise. For this time of celebration, we give thanks and praise. We are awakened from the small and insignificant by the call to respond to the profound. For this time of worship, we give thanks and praise. For this time of worship, we give thanks and praise. We are awakened on this day that God has made, so we may rejoice and be glad in it. For this time together, we give thanks and praise. For this time together, we give thanks and praise. Amen.
The grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We live in a time in which the things that have come to be are not yet what they ought to be. Let us pause to affirm what is broken in our world and to confirm our need for God's grace and peace in this world. Most merciful God, even in the midst of celebration, we recognize the ways we cause or suffer brokenness. In your grace, forgive us and heal our hurts. Bring forth from us a harvest of compassion, the fruits of gentleness and peacemaking, the gifts of wisdom and justice. Make us new this day. By God's grace, we receive mercy in our times of need. The good news is that our sins are forgiven and our wounds are healed. May we continue to pray for one another, care for those who suffer, and seek common ground for a common good, so all may have life in its fullness. Amen. Please be seated.
Gloria, Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo, et in terra. Oh. Sanctus, O Lus Sanctus. Tu solus Dominus, tu solus Altissimus, Jesu, Jesu Christe, cum sancto Spiritu in gloria Dei Patris. Amen. Amen. Amen.
A reading from Psalms. Let your steadfast love come to me, O God, your salvation according to your promise. Then I shall have an answer for those who taunt me, for I trust in your word. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for my hope is in your ordinances. I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought your precepts. I will speak of your decrees before rulers and shall not be put to shame. I find my delight in your commandments because I love them. I revere your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Within it, the world and those who live in it. For God has founded it on the seas, established it on the rivers. The earth is the Lord's and all that is.
Stand in his holy place. Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not pledged themselves to falsehood, who have sworn by what is a fraud, they shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the just reward from the God of their salvation.
Shall come in.
Who
A reading from Romans. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good news from John chapter 20. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails of my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." The good news given for you. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Please be seated. On the 13th day of creation, God made jazz. On that fateful 13th day, after the world had worked for a full work week, and after all of God's creation came to its first real weekend, God said, "Let there be jazz." and there was jazz. And God saw that the jazz was good. And God saw that the jazz was very good. On that 13th day of creation, God recognized that jazz could lift hearts and gladden souls. God realized that jazz could set people free from all that kept them low. And when it all was marvelously materialized, God was delighted to see the recently created people clap their hands and dance and even shout for joy. And yes, because there was no such thing as Lutherans yet, God even heard a few people shout out amen. It was incredible. On that 13th day of creation, God said, "Now let there be saxophones and banjos and trumpets and drums. Let there be clarinets and guitars. Let there be trombones and a stand-up bass. Let there be beautiful minds and voices to craft and compose and sing lyrics and shout scat. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be alteration and augmentation, backbeats and bebop. Let there be charts, chops, chords, and cool cross rhythms. Let there be fusion and front lines, grooves and ground beats, meters, modes, and monsters. Let there be riffs, roots, and rhythm changes, sheds, shells, and style. Let there be substitutions, syncopation, turnarounds, tone it downs. Let there be verse, vamp, and voice. Let there be jazz," God said. "Let there be jazz." And as their collective hearts burned inside them, the people clapped and shouted, and one or two even raised their hands, because, of course, there were no Lutherans yet. On that 13th day, God recognized that it simply could not be the Garden of Eden without an art form that embodied the best of human freedom. So the God that made the heavens and the earth made it so. And in perhaps God's greatest act, God let all of creation make music together. And in doing so, make a community together. So that it may learn and experiment and change and move and wonder and die and resurrect. And as God's community of organic connectivity flourished in that glorious garden, there was no center and there were no margins. All were given voice, all were given vote. They had structure and flexibility, they had scope, they had innovation and instruction. And as their music painted a picture of the God who first created them, it was Eden. And it was pleasing in God's sight. On that 13th day, God said, let it happen again and again. God said, be creative, my creation. Let the music play. And let your worries and your concerns go away. Let's all rest on the 14th day. So there was night and there was a late morning. The 13th day. And the world would never be the same. Let there be jazz, God said. Let there be jazz, and let there be a church we gather on this Sunday to say that yearns to learn from this profound artistic confession from one of creation's most creative expression. And why not? Why not be a church that yearns to learn from jazz? Why not? Because quite frankly, this art form was baptized from its birth. Because jazz had the gospel in its genetic code. And therefore, to this day, jazz serves as a profound and prophetic portal of theological imagination and creative confessional proclamation. So why not be a church that yearns to learn from jazz? The evidence is before us. For the sake of quick historical view, we begin with this affirmation that the formation of jazz as a musical genre drew heavily from heavenly roots. For what we know now is that gospel music, church music, and Western instrumentation met one another in New Orleans. And this holy collection mixed with Creole music and French dance music, and in doing so fused with body house music and marching band music, and when it was all said and done, we had a spicy, earthy, honest, and ambitious new sonic gumbo known as jazz, a heavenly creation. The history books remind us that New Orleans couldn't keep jazz captive, as a migration of black Americans to the North between the two world wars was geared towards young musicians in the church settings in the burgeoning black urban centers. And as many of these church musicians grew up and grew out to find their vocations in the ministry of jazz, the world would never be the same. For example, both of John Coltrane's grandfathers were ministers. John Hendrick's father was a minister. Ramsey Lewis' father was a minister. And there were many others from many backgrounds that have written explicitly from spirit to spirit. Jazz recordings attest to this. And beyond the borders of Christian expression, Charlie Mingus said that his music was evidence of his soul's will to expand. Dizzy Gillespie drew parallels between the developments of religion and jazz. In addition, Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter, both long-practicing Buddhists, felt that the music they made was in service to the mutual enlightenment of themselves and their listeners. Jazz was and continues to be of the spirit. Because for those that have been blessed to play it, we recognize the very act of learning to make music and improvise at a deep level brings to mind the spiritual habits of meditation and prayer. For as many here on this musically inclined campus would attest, the mastery of music is an existential exercise, and I might say a religious experience. More specifically, the performance of jazz improvisation requires that the artist be fully present in her consciousness, as the music requires total involvement and thus a humble knowledge of boundaries and boundlessness. For when you're playing, the music is not just you and the instrument of your choosing, but the music is also the microphone. The music is the chair. It's the door swinging open, the spotlight, the baptismal font dripping, the spire swinging in the St. Peter wind, and yes, the child in the back humming along. The music is from soul to universe because jazz is of the spirit. Therefore, at its best, jazz itself serves and is an instrument of both mastery and compassion. It's an experience of deep level communication both between band members and between an artist and congregation alike. It unifies. It produces forgetting and joy. It keeps the lonely company. It bespeaks of possibilities. So imagine what could happen if a church yearned to learn from jazz. What could it mean? Perhaps the answer is found in the scripture read moments ago, Psalm 119, 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. Perhaps this psalm was written on the 14th day of creation. It was a jazz psalm, designed for people who understand life and tradition to be a journey. But not just any journey, but a walkabout into a territory that is not their own and thus not fully known. Quickly to review, this 119th psalm begins in verse 1 by portraying life as a pathway, and thus the living of life as a pilgrimage in that particular path. Later, verse 19, the psalm writer self-identifies as a sojourner, a resident alien, and thus a foreigner who lives on a journey in a place other than her own. Throughout these 176 verses of this 119th psalm, yes, the longest of all, we hear that such a sojourner needs the light of the pathway for times of trouble, times of loss, times of struggle. And as a result, this 119th psalm pictures this believer as a person on the move, going from somewhere to somewhere, thus traveling from someone to a new someone. And this image is key for understanding the psalm, and I would argue the church. Now, what must be noted about this particular psalm as the longest, it's not the most difficult to remember or understand, as the psalm itself is built according to a clear acrostic and artistic pattern. More specifically, the poetry of Psalm 119 is made of 22 8-verse units, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. In other words, each line of each verse unit begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, sort of like verses 1 through 8 beginning with A, verses 9 through 16 B, so on and so forth. Therefore, in the original Hebrew language, there is a clear pattern to this psalm, because as scholars argue, the structure is a teaching device meant for memorization, so that when one is traveling, or we might say improvising, on a pathway in an unknown territory, they can be guided and inspired by the familiar form of the psalm, their music that directed them on the pathway from exile to freedom, or might we say from discovering into becoming. Thus personified in verse 45, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Freedom and precepts, limits and liberation, rules and reformation, restrictions and revolution, from exile into the promised land on the pathway, what could be more jazz than that? What could be more Lutheran than that? This psalm, like jazz and like the church of a Lutheran key, is able to enjoy this paradoxical nature of confessional fidelity and contextual fidelity. And in doing so, the psalm and this jazz today is a reminder that the more one knows our limits, the more one is free. As Paul writes in Romans 6, as we heard a moment ago, we are both free and bound. Thus, we need both liberation and limitation. We need both to hold intention on the pathway, which we call the journey of faith. Because being both and in an either-or world is who we are as the body of Christ. For as our jazz today reminds us, we can be both subject to none and servant of all. Both and. And this, I believe, is what the church could and should learn this day. As a community of faith, our pathway in this journey of unfolding and expanding tradition, it has both roots and it has reach. It has both and. Thus, we live out our callings in this world, free to be in a world that so often wishes to incarcerate us with fear of both revolution and routine. Therefore, as people rooted in the belief that God is present in and with us through the risen Jesus, we are free to listen. We are free to learn. We are free to promote. We are free to pursue wherever the path is leading. Because we are grounded in the grace and love of God, we can insist upon inquiry and question and criticism, regardless of where the pursuit will lead, intellectual rigor, caution against preconceived judgments. Because of being rooted, we can reach towards interfaith understanding of all people, of all denominations, and all religions. Because we are rooted, we can reach for justice and vocation and discernment. And perhaps most of all, because we can believe that after death can come resurrection, peace can be with us on the days when we see and on the days that we do not. So what this means for us this day as people of faith, we seek both roots and reach, both freedom and form, both limits and liberation in this journey called tradition. As we hear in the psalm, as we hear in the musicians, as we see in the baptism about to take place this morning, and as we will continue to see in the unfolding narrative of God's activity in and through the church, we are both traditional and contemporary for the simple fact that we are here this day. Because roots require reach, and reach must have roots. And so, as people this day, may we be baptized into that which is always being made new. This day and always, on this day of creation, let there be jazz, and let us not be afraid to play. Let there be jazz today and every day. Let there be A sections and B sections, ballads and blues. Let there be changes and charts and codas and cool. Let there be dot time and double time and free jazz and funk. Let there be melodies that fly, flow, and sometimes stunk. Let there be patterns and pedals and pickups and pockets, trumpets, trombones that sound like rockets, especially that one right there. Scales, solos, strolls, and swing. And let there be a church where freedom, will truly ring. Amen. Face the back towards the baptismal font. Following the tradition of Jesus who welcomed children into his community, we celebrate the presence of children within this community of faith and offer to them the sacrament of baptism. Barrett and Anna, as parents, do you desire to have your child, Grace, baptized into the Christian community of faith? Will you encourage her to learn from the wisdom of the prophets, doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with her God? Roy and Amy, as sponsors, will you foster for Grace and appreciation for the life and teachings of Jesus? Baird, Anna, Roy, and Amy, will you teach Grace to honor the faith questions that belong to her throughout her life? Will you journey with her to discover the wonders of God's love made manifest here this day? If so, parents and sponsors, please answer, we will.
We will.
To the congregation, Jesus calls us to welcome children into the full life of the faith community, opening our hearts to those most vulnerable, offering the wisdom of the ages to all who hunger for truth. Do you here in Christ Chapel who witness and celebrate this baptism promise your love, support, and care children being baptized as they live and grow in the Christian community? If so, answer, we will.
We will.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the gift of creation made known to us in water and word. Before the world had shape and form, your Spirit moved over the waters. Out of the waters of the deep, you formed the firmament, then brought forth the earth to sustain all life. In the time of Moses, your people Israel passed through the Red Sea waters from slavery to freedom. and cross the flowing Jordan to enter the promised land. You have come to us through water and the stories of Jesus, who was nurtured in the water of Mary's womb, baptized by John in the water of the Jordan, and became living water to a woman at the Samaritan well. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and sent them forth to baptize with water and spirit. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water. Bless all who touch and taste this water, that they may ever be reminded of your abiding presence and claim on their lives. Amen. With this water that the family has passed down from the Jordan River itself, grace, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And sealed with the cross of Christ and marked by the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Let us pray. God of wonder and yes, God of grace and. We thank you for your love revealed here this day as this community, these parents and sponsors and this child come together making covenant promises. We pray that the community will have the grace to uphold the promises made here this day, providing a safe shelter for your love in which this child may grow and play. We pray that these parents may continue to feel the sweet wonder of your presence so transparent here today. We pray that this child will bask in your love as she makes her own journey through this life. Amen. Can you hold this? Let's allow the congregation to welcome Grace Ann into the body of Christ. You may please face the altar as we begin with our prayers of a people.
Let us pray. Lord, as we begin our celebration of environmental justice during the month of April, help us to appreciate and preserve the beautiful world you have created for us. Remind us that you did not create the earth in order to serve humanity, but instead created humanity to serve the earth. Help us to incorporate an environmental consciousness in our daily lives and actions. Lord of love, Lord, as we enjoy the musical offerings of the Theodicy Jazz Collective on this day, we thank you for all the musicians who use their talents to celebrate you. We thank you for the rich history this music has created and recorded, and for the hope it has inspired. Whatever our talents may be, help us all to use your gifts to serve you and your community. Lord of love, Lord, as further evidence emerges of racial injustice in America's police forces, we pray for justice. Help us to foster peaceful discourse about inequality in our justice system and to create a better, safer nation for all of your children. We pray for the friends and families of those who have been lost because of this violence, as well as for the communities who live under oppression. Lord of love, Lord, we pray for the places in your world marred by chaos and violence. As the United States and Iran struggle to reach an agreement on nuclear weapons, we ask for peaceful and productive discourse between nations. As ISIS continues to cause destruction in the Middle East. We pray for the lives lost and displaced in those areas. For these and other struggles, we pray for your guidance. Lord of love, for all of these things and all else which we bring to you, we give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ is with you all. Let us share the peace of the Lord.
In the water, wait. pray. Gracious God, our Father and Mother, for the labors, the love, and the care that gave us the delights of this day and every day, we say, thanks be to God. For the nourishment of our spirit, the challenges that strengthen us, and the friends we have on the journey, we say, thanks be to God. For all that fills our lives and for these good gifts, we say, thanks be to God. Overflowing with gratitude, let us say, thanks be to God. Amen. People of God, people of life, we gather as a holy communion for a meal that has been shared countless times, in countless places, and in countless ways. The first time this meal was shared, Jesus gathered around a table with a ragged collection of people, outcasts, betrayers, the power-hungry and fragile, lonely, lost. The first time this meal was celebrated, Jesus promised that it was for all time, that whenever the bread was broken and the wine was poured, wherever the story was told around a table, he would be there. Today we remember the story. As it has been told 1,000 times over, we eat the bread and we drink the wine, and we affirm that we all belong at this table and that Jesus is here. So if we come to this table angry, let this bread and wine be our peace. And if we come to this table broken, let this bread and wine be our grace. And if we come to the table betrayed, let this bread and wine be our wholeness. And if we come to the table in despair, let this bread and wine be our life. For this is a holy table with food to fill a hungry world and wine to quench thirsty hearts. Thanks be to God. When Jesus ate with his friends, he took bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink, This cup poured out for you is the promise of God. Whenever you drink it, remember me. We remember Jesus' death and resurrection, our hope and our life. We break the bread and share one cup. Thanks be to God. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Wherever you are in your journey with God, you are welcome to share in this meal of grace. Please come. You may be seated.